The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon. Get a hug this morning?
Are those pickles for us to eat when we're done?
No, we don't get to eat them today.
Why?
Huh? All right, I've got something with me here. Y'all see what these are, right? Can y'all see what they are? What are they?
Pretzels.
Got pretzels. Y'all like to eat pretzels?
Yes.
Yep.
They're always in our snacks.
They're in your snacks. They are good to eat. I like pretzels too. Oh, these are little pretzels. Y'all ever had big pretzels?
Yeah, we had big pretzels.
Bread pretzels are always good, aren't they?
Yes.
Sometimes they're really big. They're really big and they are good. Did you know that pretzels are not only good to eat? But they are also a symbol of prayer. You know, this is the time of Lent, and it's a time that we do pray.
Uh-huh.
But you can pray anytime. You can pray anytime at all. Let me tell you about the pretzels. There was a monk many, many years ago, actually 1,500 years ago, about 1,500 years ago, in southern Europe. And he was a monk who was in charge of making the bread. And so one day he was making all the bread, and he had some dough left over. So you know what he did with that leftover dough? Yep, he rolled them up like big snakes. You ever do that with Play-Doh? Uh-huh, make big snakes with Play-Doh? Well, he made a big snake out of it, or out of the pieces, and then he wrapped them up so that they look in this shape, like a pretzel. Okay, and then he baked them, and he put salt on them, and then he showed them to the other monks. And one of the monks says, "That looks like children when they are praying." Now, how do you hold your hands? What do you do when you pray? You bow your heads. Mm-hmm. You bow your heads. And you hold your hands. How do you hold your hands? Okay, you hold your hands like that.
Some people hold their hands like that. Do you know it's also okay to hold your hands up like that? What that does is that you're saying, God, I've got stuff I need to offer to you. I've got to get this off of me. And so you're raising up your hand, showing God, I'm handing off all my troubles to you. But it's also like a big cup, all right? Because then you're ready to receive God's blessings. So you can pray like that. Now, many years ago, a lot of times people wouldn't do this, or they wouldn't do this, or they wouldn't do this. What they would do is they held their hands like this. Okay?
Just like we did.
Yeah. And you're covering your heart. You want to keep God in your heart, protect God in your heart. Okay? You put your hands on your shoulders. So what's that look like? An X? What's it look like? Does it look like a pretzel? See? I mean, you got your crosses right here, and then it kind of loops around. Looks like a pretzel.
Pastor Tim, uh-huh. Can't say their name.
You can't say their name? Okay. All right. Can y'all do that? Put your hands on your shoulders like that. You make an X. Put your hands on your shoulders. And let's pray this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus, who invites us into prayer and who has taught us how to pray. We also give you thanks that he went to the cross for our salvation. Help us to always remember you and also give all of our cares to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to go sit down.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever helped the child learn how to walk or watched a child as it was learning how to walk? And it's almost comical, or at least it's a joy to watch what's going on. Here's mom sitting on the floor calling the child, come, you can make it. Come on, take a step. And you got the child over here clinging on to something, hanging on. He's already standing up, but clinging on. And then you got father right behind, ready to catch that baby as it falls. Will the child walk? It's clinging on to what is safe, to what it knows. Will it let go? Will it take those steps? And what happens when it takes the steps? Is it going to wobble? Is the child going to be able to walk? Or does the child fall? Sometimes it may take several attempts. Maybe the child does wobble and fall, but that child is ready to get up, and mom is right there calling, come, I'll help you. Come to me. And father's back there ready to catch the baby so that if that baby does fall, does not get hurt. In our first lesson today, God is calling Abram and Sarai to go to a new land, to take that step, to take that leap, to follow in faith. God is calling, come into this new land. Come into the promises that I give you. And God makes promises to them. He makes promises that I will give you a new land, a land so large it will become a country. And I also promise to you that you will have many descendants, so many descendants that they will become a nation, a holy nation, a blessed nation. And God also makes those promises to them that you will be blessed. And you will be blessed so that you can be a blessing to other people. God beckons them, come. For Abram and Sarai, it was a step in faith, or it was a leap in faith. Would they let go of what they know? Would they let go of what is safe? Would they leave their land? Would they leave the city behind that they knew? Would they leave family? Would they leave home? Would they leave everything in their life and listen to God? Listen to God calling, come, take this step. Go to the new land. Abraham and Sarah did go. I can relate to this story because I had a somewhat similar experience. Part of being in seminary and training for a pastor is going on internship. We've had several interns here at this congregation, and so you're aware of that practice. My internship was in North Dakota. Growing up in Texas, in Central Texas and South Texas, I knew it was going to be different. I had never seen more than half an inch of snow before I went off to school. I knew that they had piles and piles of deep snow up in North Dakota. And they also had the deep, deep cold up there as well then too. And it stayed cold for a long time. It was going to be different than South Texas or Central Texas. Also too, I knew the people would be different. I know on the streets in many of the towns and places here in this area of Texas that you hear English with a southern drawl, or maybe you hear English with a heavy German accent in certain cities, or you hear Spanish being spoken in the streets or in some of the shops. Also, too, you see many African Americans around. When I went off to college, it was kind of interesting. There was a girl that had come down to college, to TLU, from North Dakota, and she had never seen an African-American person in person before she came to college. There just weren't people of color up there other than maybe some Native Americans. And so I knew North Dakota would be quite different. And also, too, the people up there would be different. Rather than that southern drawl or German or Spanish being spoken, they were Norwegian. Their background had been Norwegian, and so they spoke with a completely different accent. It was that kind of sing-song sound of speaking of that Norwegian language or of English being spoken with that accent. I even had to change the way that I drove my truck, or the way that I had to keep my truck up, my pickup. I had to put a special type of antifreeze in the gas tank. Otherwise, the moisture in the gasoline would freeze up, and the gas lines would freeze up, and you couldn't drive. The engine wouldn't start. Also, too, I had to hook up a heater to my coolant system. Sounds kind of funny, you have to heat up your coolant system. But that was the only way to keep the engine block warm so that you could crank it in the mornings. I had to put a cover over my grill in order that when I'm driving down the road at road speeds, that the engine would be able to warm up enough. Otherwise, it would never run properly. And even then, it was hard to heat the cab to a comfortable temperature. And then I also had to put together a survival kit in case I got stranded somewheres. Also had to put a new battery in the truck. It wouldn't start one morning. Catherine was driving the truck. She had been doing a shift at the nursing home, and a night shift at the nursing home, and she couldn't start the truck. And so she asked the maintenance guy to come out and look, see what was wrong with it. He popped the hood, and he started laughing. He says, "You need a battery in this thing. Need some cranking amps." And so I learned all sorts of new things while I was up there. But the experience was very good. The people were warm and they were welcoming. It was very helpful in my training to becoming a pastor. Catherine and I went as newlyweds. We had only been married for 3 months. But we took that leap of faith and we went. We went to that new land, to that strange land, following God's call. Where is God calling you? What new lands is God calling you into? Maybe it's new lands that are somewhat personal. Maybe it has to do with communication. Maybe God is asking you to speak up more. Share your thoughts, your ideas, your faith with other people that you are working with so that they are enriched by your own experiences as well then too, that you add to the mix of the conversation of what's going on. Or maybe it's to speak less than what you do and listen a little bit more. Maybe it's personal in nature with relationships. Maybe your relationship with God. Maybe God's calling into new lands of prayer life
of opening up your heart and your mind and pouring yourself out in honesty to God through prayer. Or maybe through Bible study, of digging a little bit deeper, finding a little bit more meaning in that scripture. Or devoting maybe a little bit more to devotion to God in your whole life. Maybe it's in relationships with family. Maybe it's in learning those new lands or in learning how to deal with parents who are aging. Or maybe it's in dealing with grown children who do not know how to make good choices in life, or who haven't made good choices in life. Or maybe it's dealing with your own parents of, they just don't get it. They just don't understand. Maybe it's in more of a missional focus that God is calling you to be able to share your faith, either by helping people with needs or by actually speaking about how God has touched you in your life. And the wonderful things that God has done for you, the blessings that you have received. One of the blessings that Abraham had was a blessing to be a blessing to other people. Maybe God is calling you to try new things. Maybe to join a committee that you have never served on before, or a task force that you think may be interesting. Or maybe God is calling you into leadership. Maybe God is even calling you into ministry to become a pastor. God calls us into new lands to do new things. God is beckoning us, just like the mother with the small child, calling that child, come, come, trust me, come. Or the father trying to catch the child as the child falls. What happens when we answer that call then, that God is beckoning us? Come to the new land. What happens to us? There's lots of emotions that go through us when we hear that call from God of calling us into the new land. Sometimes it's joy or excitement that God has chosen me to do something special, to do something that is very needed. Sometimes it's fear. God, why are you calling me? Why me? Maybe it's some anxiety that, God, I don't have enough experience. I don't know how to do this. Sometimes it may even be anger. You don't want to do it. I remember my senior year in seminary, when we got our district assignments. It was much like the NFL draft. All the bishops got together and they came to a meeting and they started picking students who were certified to be ordained. And they'd just go around the room and they'd start picking students who they wanted and trying to fill all the spots where they had churches. And so students weren't guaranteed anything. You could put in your preference, but you weren't guaranteed anything. I was excited when I learned where I was going because I got assigned back to the Southern District, right where we are. For other students, I remember them becoming very upset because they were being called away from where they grew up or what was familiar to them, maybe all the way across the country, or maybe from areas that were rural to more urban areas, or vice versa, from urban into the rural areas. And they were upset because they did not get what they wanted. They heard a different call. And sometimes we are angry or we are upset when God calls us. We're full of fear. God, why have you chosen me? I haven't gotten the experience yet. But God calls us. He beckons us. Come. Take a step of faith. Let go of what is familiar. Let go of your need for control. Let go what is safe. And take a step. And we take that step, we may wobble. We may even fall. But God is there to catch us. And God is there to pick us up back again and lead us to where we need to go. God has given us His promises. God created us in His image. He created us out of love.
He sent his son into the world who calls us, come follow me. Come follow me. Take that step of faith and follow me. And God showed that love through his son as Jesus took the step and went to the cross for us, dying for us, so that we may be made safe, that we may be made whole, that we may be made worthy. The Holy Spirit beckons us on, constantly calling us out of those waters of baptism to rise up and take that step of faith into that new land, the land where you don't, where what is not familiar to you, a land, though, that is full of God's promises. God made those promises to Abraham that you will have much land, that you will have many descendants. And he gives the promise of blessings so that you may be a blessing to others. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.